7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson.
Hey there, everybody. We are back, and it's Pony Cake Sports. Guys, how's it going?
It's another great day at the Pony Cake Studios. Happy to be around both of you.
And yeah, so let's talk about what we got on tap for the show today. We are going to be talking a little bit playoff predictor.
You know what? This is the time that separates the men from the boys. This is when we hold ourselves accountable for what our predictions are, our future. Some of these other shows will just say things just to say things. It doesn't matter. They'll make up words. They'll make up predictions. And they don't care. They'll do whatever they can just to say that they were right. We hold ourselves accountable here at Pony Keg Sports, and we do so by giving you basically facts and information.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the stuff that we got going on. Tim, why don't you kick us off with the playoff predictor and what we're planning on?
So playoffpredictor.com is essentially a site where you're able to go through, you predict every single NFL game throughout the year, and we're going to start with the NFC today. We're going to go through the whole NFC all the way through the playoffs, predict which NFC team, give you division winners, give you wild card teams, and give you our Super Bowl predictions for the NFC playoffs.
It's a really fun exercise to do. Yeah, we might be way off, but we are giving an old college try at this. And it's harder than a lot of people think. I know when I was going through it, I didn't go back at all. I'm pretty happy with overall how my predictions went. But looking at some of the final records, I kind of want to do it again.
But Tom, you may be giving a college try, but I am giving everyone a professional breakdown of what's going on. This is going to be exactly what's going to happen here in the NFC. I'm very excited. It was tough. I will say, anyone who has the time to do it, it takes a good 45 minutes, I'd say, guys. Is that fair? Fair time assessment?
I think it took me a little bit longer just for the fact that I...
Well, you're not that smart.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. But no, I was sitting there staring at these games, and I'm like, I'm trying to think to myself, like, should I let this team go through, get this win, or should I... But, you know, by the end of it, you had to make sure that you just picked with what you thought was going to actually win.
Well, it must be difficult for you to be predicting these games. You mentioned staring at the screen. You're staring at the matchups while you have your pornographic video volume on the headphones. So it must have been pretty difficult for you to make these decisions while listening to men groan.
Really? Really? That is a little far.
That's an interesting take, Tim.
It's not a take. We know Josh.
That's
Listen, your lady friend, she's waiting for a ring, so we know that you're on lockdown until you provide said ring.
She's probably listening to this right
now. And I'm glad she is. Becca, Josh's girlfriend's name is Becca. He bought her a house. She set up the Pony Keg Studio like a champ. She got you all this stuff. She cleaned down here. God knows you're not doing it. Do the lady a favor. Either get her a ring or put a baby in her.
I can barely take care of myself and my two dogs, let alone thinking about a baby anytime soon.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about the NFC. What do you guys want to do? Just start at week one and kind of go from there?
Week one, you want to go week one? You want to go divisions? What do you want to do?
Let's talk about the North.
Okay, we can do that.
Tim's favorite division.
So I have to say, I'm going to start by giving all my fellow Bears fans, and there's all three of you out there, you guys last week or the week before, you know, essentially just kept poking the bear, me. No pun intended, but pun intended. Just, are you excited about this guy? Are you excited? I hate everything the Bears did in the offseason. But with that being said, I have no problem admitting when I may have spoke too soon. Guys like Tariq Cohen, guys like Adam Shaheen, guys like Mitchell Trubisky. For as much as who knows what they will bring, who knows what their future will be, I thoroughly enjoyed the end of the second quarter and into the second half with Trubisky being quarterback. I enjoyed what I saw from Tariq Cohen. These are, you know, playing against the third string with the third string Bears offense. That's fine. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it did give me some type of small glimmer of hope for the future. So I will say, I'm excited a little bit.
So you picked the Bears to win the division, Tim?
God, no.
To be honest, I watched the preseason game, and Mr. Chicken Can Salad, he looked really good. Tariq Cohen, that's what he likes to call himself. Big Daddy Cohen. I thought he looked pretty decent for you know, what I thought, and or what I thought he was going to be.
Well, and I will say, the Bears have made it perfectly clear in that first game of the preseason that he's going to have his role in this offense.
Yep.
That's what they said.
And what did I say? The Bears were going to draft a running back, and they did. But to be honest, I didn't think it was going to be Tariq Cohen. But like we've said over and over again with the Bears, they went out and got the best player in D2.
I'm not going to continue on this trend of the Bears because no one else in the league cares. But what I will say is they added someone to give pressure and put some pressure on Jeremy Langford. Jeremy Langford's been hurt after his first. It was like a walkthrough drill. He's been hurt. He hasn't shown anything. Would not be surprised if he's not able to show anything and Cohen keeps doing what he's doing. I don't know if Langford's going to be on the team.
How many games did you guys have the Bears winning?
I have them at an impressive 4-12. It's an improvement from last year.
And mind you, before we even talk about the records, we did not disclose any of the records to each other at all. So this will be very interesting to see where they land.
First time we are hearing it. But I have the Bears 4-12. I think they'll be better than a lot of people think they will be. It's really not saying much by their record, but I don't think Mike Glenn is the answer. I'm a little nervous. I don't think they're going to have Trubisky playing much. And just the way Glennon played that first game, it was horrendous. I think that offense is going to struggle, but that defense is going to hold them in games and make games a lot closer than a lot of people are thinking right now.
Do you want me to go with mine next?
Yep.
4-12.
There you go.
Yeah. What games did you have them winning?
Oh, geez. Let me check.
If you just click on their thing. I have them. Who do I have them winning? I have them beating the Vikings in Week 5.
I have that.
I have them beating the Lions in Week 11. I have them beating the 49ers in Week 13 and beating the Browns in Week 16.
The only difference I have them beating the Panthers in Week 7.
Oh, all right. I can deal with that.
So, as the Bears fan that I am, I'm going to go out there. I had them at a whopping 2-14.
Jesus.
Wow. I had them at 2-14. You mentioned all the issues with Mike Glennon. I think he's going to get better. That defense is going to be halfway decent. But already the injury concerns of Pernell McPhee, already, you know, coming off of a multiple concussed season in the defensive line. Why am I blanking right now? From Georgia.
Floyd.
Rookie. Thank you. Leonard Floyd.
He does look really good.
Yes. He does. He looks great. And I hope that's what I hope to get out of this season. If he can stay healthy, I hope to see a 10-sack season out of him because he looked fantastic in his first preseason debut. But I had them going out there. I did the easy thing. I had them beating the 49ers and the Browns. I figure worst case scenario, they split that, and then they win one division game. Best case scenario for them.
Yeah, I really think Floyd can develop into that type of Vic Beasley-type pass rusher who kind of out of nowhere, second year, puts up over 10 sacks. Beasley had 15 last year. Floyd's that type of athlete, and he's going to be put in the right situation for the Bears to put numbers up like that. I think he's got a chance to be in the running for like the most impressive defensive or second year defensive player this year.
I agree. It's so concerning that someone that has to be that aggressive had multiple concussions in one season. That's the part that scares me. We'll see what happens. You already see. I mean, I mentioned McPhee. I mentioned Floyd. I mentioned Amakamara. He's already hurt. I mean, there's multiple. The rookie out of Alabama that the Bears drafted, the safety. Why am I blanking right now on his
Eddie
name?
Jackson.
Thank you. He looked great.
He looked good in his
preseason debut. He looked fantastic.
This is your goddamn team, and you can't even think of your
players'
names?
Not off the top of my head, because I told you, I don't want to get excited. I don't want to get excited about them. I don't. I allowed myself to sit back and embrace who they are that first game. I allowed myself to get a little bit excited while watching. I love the fact that Mitchell Trubisky failed to try to get that game-winning drive. I like that. Let them want more. Let them strive for something. I liked everything that I saw in that preseason debut.
Let's move on to the next team. Third place in the division. Who do you guys have?
For me, third place, I have the Minnesota Vikings. I have them going 7-9 overall and then 2-4 in the division. Right now, I am not a big-time believer in Sam Bradford. I really like what they did in the draft, adding Dalvin Cook in the second round. That's the equivalent of getting a first-round pick. He fell due to character issues, and they had a solid overall draft, but I just don't think they're good enough to overtake the Packers or the Lions in that case.
Tim. Josh, you want me to go?
Yes. I direct this ship.
I went with the Detroit Lions at 7-9. I just think that with their, obviously they have Darius Slay in their secondary. I don't like any of the other additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball. Their running game is still questionable at best, and it's still just the Matthew Stafford show. It's still, you don't know who's going to blow up. Is it going to be Golden Tate? Is it going to be Marvin Jones? You're not really sure. Is Eric Ebron going to be a real person? Who knows? I have
person.
you don't know what you're going to get out of them. I have them at 3-3 in the division and finishing 7-9 overall.
Their first 8 games are really, really tough, and that is for the Detroit Lions. I have them at 7-9 as well. 2-4 in the division. They play the Cardinals week 1, Giants week 2, Falcons week 3, Vikings, Panthers, Saints, their bye week, Steelers, Packers. That is a tough schedule.
I think I had them something like 1-4 or 1-5 to start the year, so I agree completely, Josh.
Yeah, I had them 1-5, 1-6 to start the year out.
Yep.
Or 1-5 to start the year
out. It was one of those things where, you know, because the way that playoffpredictors.com works is you just go week by week, and they have the divisions broken down on each side. And, you know, about halfway through, I stopped and I looked, and I'm like, holy shit, like I didn't know the Lions were going to be this bad. What did I do? Stopped, looked at it, and it's very possible.
So you got the Lions going second in the division, Tom. We have the Vikings second in the division.
I have the Lions 8-8, and there's a few reasons for that. One big reason is because their additions on the offensive line. I think they've improved that right side of the offensive line. I do like the draft that they had. I think they got an impressive future middle linebacker in Jared Davis. Jalen Reeves, Maben, they've pretty much redone that whole linebacking core, and that's been one of their biggest issues. Not a huge Tyus Tabor fan. He's going to get some playing time.
Don't get me started on Tyus Tabor.
They added talent overall, and we saw what Kenny Galladay did to my Colts this weekend, scoring 2 touchdowns, catching 4 or 5 balls thrown to him. He had a good week, and he could be replacing Anquan Boldin and helping this offense out in the red zone.
His nickname going to be? Is it going to be Kenny G? Is it going to be Smooth? Is it going to be something else?
We'll see. I like Kenny G personally. Smooth's pretty sweet, though.
We all know the reason that Tom has the Lions second. It's because of Jim Bob Cooter. He just likes saying Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
And who is the second best quarterback in this division?
Yeah.
The Lions.
It is true.
Quarterbacks, it means so much in the game of football. It's one of the hardest positions to play in any sport and one of the most important to a team. And I like what Matthew Stafford has become under Jim Bob Cooter. They are very good together. Jim Bob and Stafford, they're on the same page, and you can't deny that. Stafford kind of fell off at the end of last season, but I think a lot of that was because of the broken finger he had on his throwing hand.
I have the Vikings 9-7. How do you have the Vikings?
I had the Vikings at 9-7 as well.
9-7. Well, interesting.
I had them 3-3 in the division.
You know what hurt me the most? Week 3 for the Vikings. I had the Vikings winning. It was against
the Bucs.
I had to be a realist.
I'll tell you what. Listen, the Vikings, they start their first 5 games. 3 of the 5 are at home. The 2 on the road, 1 against the Steelers, which, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen there. But with that defense, they still have potential there. And then the other road game is against the Bears, which is an easy win for them. My biggest reason of putting the Vikings second is, no, they don't have Matthew Stafford, the second best quarterback in the division, but I love their additions to the running game. I don't feel like that can be stressed enough. Dalvin Cook is a huge addition, and the addition of layabouts Murray is being undersold. I get that he's been hurt. I get that Dalvin is taking over, but having both of those guys there, I think Latavius Murray had 12 touchdowns last year. They're adding those two running backs alone with that defense could help them slow the game down and make it very, very easy for Sam Bradford, who had one of the best completion percentage in NFL history.
Ever.
I mean, you can't undersell that.
I don't want to keep harping on the running backs for the Vikings, but think of this. Their top two running backs are going to be Dalvin Cook and Layabouts Murray. Their top two running backs last year, Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon. This year, Jerick McKinnon is the number 3 running back on this team.
There is a chance. Obviously, Jordan Howard is the other guy there, and people can talk about Ty Montgomery or Amir Abdullah if they want. there is a chance that they might have the two best fantasy football running backs at the end of the year, in my opinion. They have a chance to do that with the talents that both of those men have.
Let's move on to the number one team in the North, and it is the Green Bay Packers. Tom, where'd you have them?
I have the Green Bay Packers, 12-4, 4-2 in their division. This is mainly due to Aaron Rodgers. He's on a different planet. This dude is amazing. We saw last year what he's capable of. He started the season off a little slow, but went on an absolute tear at the end of the season that got them into the NFC Championship game, a place that this team did not belong. They shouldn't have been there, but Aaron Rodgers led them and carried them the whole way. I like what they're doing on the offensive side of the football. I like the addition of Jamal Williams. I think him and Ty Montgomery is going to be a nice 1-2 punch for the offensive side of the football. Adding Kevin King, a couple other defenders in the draft. The defense has to play better. If this team could stay healthy, they're going to be scary and probably representing the NFC in the Super Bowl in my eyes.
I have them at 13-3. I also have them, which I know potentially can be a reach, I have them 6-0 in the division. My favorite part about the Green Bay Packers is their schedule. If I did this with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension in mind, they play the Packers on the road in week 5. If Zeke's there, that might be a different story. They might only be 12-4. But there are other big road games outside of the division. The Steelers on the road, and the Panthers on the road, and then the Falcons in week 2. Those are really the only other three games that I see extremely challenging to them. I have them winning pretty much every game at Lambeau. I love them at Lambeau Field, especially against teams. You know, week 1's their hardest one, but outside of that, it's teams with not highly touted defenses. Or, you know, the rest of them are either young, they might be aggressive, but they're young. Aaron Rodgers knows how to address those situations. I have full faith, as much as it pains me to say, in Aaron Rodgers and what he's going to be able to do. And I feel like once he's there and Jamal Williams develops into the running back that he's going to be come week 6, week 7, this is going to be a very, very scary team.
I have the Packers 14-2,
woo!
Two losses. First loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, week, 12.
12.
And it's Pittsburgh. They're at home. I feel like Big Ben is going to come back from his injury that he's going to suffer in the beginning of the year. Yeah, I'm already predicting it. And then I think we're just going to see a good game. But I think Pittsburgh's going to end up eking that one out. And then the other game that I have them losing to is going to be almost a shocker. Week 16 to the Vikings. I don't know why, I'm just feeling it. So
Zimmer has been one of the best coaches at stopping Rodgers. So I could see that. We saw that happen last year.
Yeah, that's just where I have them. At first I had them, you know, 11 wins straight, and then I was just like, 10 wins straight, and then it was kind of getting to that spot, and oh man, it was just tough. I'm like, I don't know if I can have an undefeated team going all the way through. And then the other, you know, the other one that I kind of wanted to question a little bit was just week 17, just because it's the Lions against them, and the Lions are at home, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't see at any part in this schedule the only chance, I think, that they have back-to-back losing weeks is week 6 and 7. Play the Vikings on the road and then the Saints at home. But like I said, with facing secondaries, I feel like Rodgers is going to be able to pick the Saints apart at times. And listen, the Packers kind of realize where they're at in this division. They know they're the creme de la creme. They have Aaron Rodgers. I feel like they think that this is their year. They have Ty Montgomery, who was what he was last year. Jamal Williams potentially taking over. Potentially two running backs that they're going to use as a thunder and lightning type deal. And then Jordy Nelson, this is kind of his swan song, in my opinion. This is it. 32 years old. This is his last big year. He might produce a little bit here and there, but I have this as his final dominating year as a wide receiver.
Did you guys go all the way through the Super Bowl?
I did.
I did.
Okay, cool. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, we can talk about playoffs shortly after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to the South. Does that work for you guys?
That works.
That works.
Who finishes last in the division? Tom, I want to know who, record, why, go.
For me, the NFC South is by far the closest division. I have the New Orleans Saints finishing 8-8, 2-4 in the division, and finishing in last place. I like what the Saints have done, but due to tiebreakers and division record, they finished in last place. I really like the addition of Alvin Kamara, AP, Mark Ingram. They have a three-headed rushing attack in New Orleans. They've addressed the defensive side of the football, invested a lot of high draft capital into the defensive side of the football. I just don't know if it's enough. And this game, this division is going to be so close in my eyes. And it, I wanted to put them higher, but it just didn't work out that way.
Go ahead, Josh.
I have this division very close as well. But on the bottom of the division, I have the Carolina Panthers. 7-9, 1-5 in the division. Yeah, yep. 1-5 in the division. Even though I think that Cam Newton's going to have a big bounce back year, I think Christian McCaffrey's going to have a big year as well. I just, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And I just think a lot of these other teams, as much as I don't like Atlanta, I think Atlanta is just a little bit better of a team. And I think the Saints still have Drew Brees, and they're going to try to make one more big push.
So I'm going to go ahead and make Josh mad. I have the second best division in the NFL. And last place, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, my God.
Hard Knocks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It pains me.
It should.
Mostly, listen, watching Hard Knocks, it has to scare you a little bit that everyone is so scared in Tampa Bay's camp and have all come out and said that without Jameis Winston, they're nothing. They literally all came out and said that on the defensive side of the ball, the coaching staff, they all came out and said that in the before preseason even started on Hard Knocks.
No, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick,
but
that, probably sign Brad Johnson again, some other old guys.
Outside of that, they also have I hate their home games. I hate their home games. They have a tough home schedule this year. Obviously they have their division.
Yeah, against the Bears, that's tough.
they have their division at home, but they play the Giants at home. They play the Patriots at home. Obviously, the Bears and Jets are their home winnable games. But even playing the Lions at home, that can be a shootout. And I don't know if Tampa Bay has the secondary. It's going to take a lot of firepower to keep up with it. So it should be a very, very interesting. I'm not saying they're bad, but I just feel like they have the least amount of firepower on this team. And I have them finishing 7-9. Also, 1-5 in the division.
Woo! Fuck you. next up, third team in the division. You better not say the goddamn Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's all I got to say.
Third place, I have the Atlanta Falcons. I'm talking Super Bowl hangover. I have them at 8-8 as well. So, same record as the Saints, but going 3-3 in the division. One game better. I believe in the Super Bowl hangover. It happens almost every year. We saw it last year with the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. It's going to happen again this year to a team, and I don't think any chance in hell that it's going to be the New England Patriots. I just don't see any way that Matt Ryan has the same type of year that he had last year. It was a very special year, something that is hard to repeat, and it is nothing close to his career average of how he has played, and I just don't think it's going to happen. And the loss of Kyle Shanahan is a big deal, and I think people are underestimating that.
I just want to add, too, did you see how scared Gerald McCoy was when he had not even a sack, he tapped Jameis Winston in Hard Knocks for a strip fumble? And literally the whole show shut down.
Oh, yeah.
They should. He is the king of the team. He is the captain.
They spent 10 minutes. Gerald McCoy is literally one of the best defensive players
in
football.
We're talking about the Falcons right now.
Spent the whole time going, oh, I hope I don't get traded. He literally said that. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Let's just wait until I talk about the number one team in the division and bring up the Bucs again, okay? Let's do that.
That's fine. Moving on. My third place team is the New Orleans Saints. I have New Orleans at 9-7. 2-4 in the division. Listen, I like New Orleans. Obviously, Drew Brees is Drew Brees, but I feel like he did lose a little bit of weapons. In obviously Brandon Cooks, which is one of his favorite targets. I love Ted Ginn Jr. You guys all know this, but
what's his ADP?
I don't care about that
like
right now.
600.
My point is, I don't necessarily think Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks' production is going to equate to exactly what Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr.'s production is going to be.
I hope you pick him up in every league you're in. You should have to almost by default.
Just draft him over Snead and Thomas, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, pick him in the first round.
It's a possibility, but the Saints have some tough games as well. And 9-7, a respectable record for them. I feel like this division, with how tough it is going to be hard on them. And 2-4 is a realistic. Both wins are going to be at home. And, you know, they'll lose one at home, and I don't like them on the road. The Saints are never a a fantastic road team. Drew Brees is still going to throw for 5,000 yards probably. Doesn't necessarily translate to wins.
This guy. I got the Saints third in the division as well, but with a 10-6 record. Like we said, this is going to be one of the best divisions in the league. And 10-6, 3-3 in the division. I actually have them tied with Atlanta at 10-6 as well, but Atlanta finishes above them due to tiebreakers and everything like that. But the Saints, 10-6, I have them beating the Vikings, losing to the Patriots, winning on the road to the Panthers and the Dolphins because, I'm sorry, Smoking Jay Cutler is not the guy. And then I have them doing pretty good from there on out. A couple losses to I actually have a surprising loss to the Bills in Buffalo. That's my one big surprising loss.
It's a tough place to go and play, especially when you're a dome team.
Yeah, I have them losing almost back-to-back. I'm looking at schedules, right? They play the Falcons week 14. They play the Falcons week 16. Why? Why do they do that 2 weeks away from each other? I don't get it.
It's trying to make it interesting, making those division games play at the end of the year. They got, what is it? They got the, it's Saints-Falcons and Saints-Bucks, so in a four-game stretch.
Yeah, but before that starts, they play the Rams on the road. And then they get some division games, and they play the Jets, and then they get their division games. You know, they have to prep. If they don't start hot, then 9-7 is a very realistic record for them.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Number two in the division.
I have the Carolina Panthers finishing 9-7 with a 3-3 record in the division. I think Cam Newton is going to finally be healthy. Last season, he was struggling with a shoulder injury. Didn't look like himself. Wasn't accurate. And the run game struggled. I like the offensive weapons, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel. I'm expecting Devin Funchess to explode this year. I'm liking the weapons that Carolina has, and hopefully with a healthy Luke Kuechly, that defense can look like itself. But it's a tough division. 9-7, it's tied for the best record in my eyes in the division, but they're losing out because of tiebreakers.
I have as my second place in the NFC South the Atlanta Falcons. But I still have them at 13-3.
Holy shit.
I love the Atlanta Falcons schedule. The Atlanta Falcons' hardest games, they play the Patriots on the road, which obviously you can chalk up to a loss. They play the Panthers on the road, but the Seahawks on the road. Outside of that, all their home games are against their toughest opponents. Their other road games are division opponents, and they play the Jets on the road. They play the Lions on the road. They play the Bears on the road. It's going to be, I know you guys aren't sold on it. You think Kyle Shanahan is the reason why the Falcons had the success that they had. Now, if Devonta Freeman isn't healthy going into the season, that will obviously change things. But with that being said, they are set up with this schedule to have another successful season. I have the my number one team beating them on tie breaks. But I truly believe that Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, it almost helps them this year because of the way that they lost the Super Bowl. They have a chip on their shoulder. There's attitude there. That defense that was young last year with three rookie starters is only going to get better with the additions that they made in free agency as well. It's going to be a very, very scary team. And with this schedule, I believe that they are going to be extremely, extremely scary.
I got the Falcons second in the division, finishing 10-6. Same record as the New Orleans Saints. 3-3 in the division, same as the Saints. It's going to be funny. Week one's going to come around, and they are going to beat the shit out of the Chicago Bears. It's going to be a 41-14 game, something ridiculous. And then you know what everybody's going to say? They're going to go, it doesn't matter about Shanahan. The Falcons and Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are here. They are the guys and blah, blah, blah. And then week two is going to come around, and the Packers are going to beat the shit out of the Falcons. So that's how I like to see the season start for them. But that's just me.
I don't think the Packers are going to beat the shit out of them in Atlanta.
It'll happen.
In Atlanta, it's a tough place to play. They're definitely going to torch the Bears. There's no doubt about it, but it is what it is.
My first place team in the NFC South is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woo!
You like that?
Yeah!
Hard Knocks is going to help them out. They're going to finish at an impressive 9-7. 4-2 in the division, though, and that's why they edge out the Carolina Panthers. Tim, you brought up earlier, you didn't think this offense was explosive. I think it is. I like the addition of O.J. Howard. I don't think he's going to be used that much in the passing game early on, but he's going to help that running attack out a bunch. He will be an extension of that offensive line. Mike Evans paired with a DeSean Jackson who hasn't lost his step, who still looks fast. Jameis Winston, arrow is pointed up. If he can figure out how not to turn the football over so much, he will be one of the elite quarterbacks in this league, and I like him and this Tampa Bay team this year.
Yeah, he's got so many, and I have him number one in the division as well. I have them at 11-5, 5-1 in the division. That may be saying a lot, but I really think this is going to be their year to finally crawl up the standings here. And like you said, they got all those weapons. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. Don't forget Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. They got a lot of weapons.
Godwin.
My boy Chris Godwin. He's everybody's sleeping on him. That's fine. Adam Humphries is another one that everybody's sleeping on. They have so many weapons that they can distribute the ball to. Now, if you're thinking about fantasy football and how that relates to it, that's going to be a crapshoot. You're still going to have Evans, but, man, it's going to be tough to rely on a lot of other guys besides Evans and Jameis Winston. So that's just me. But I really think the Bucs come week one. That's going to be the really – that's going to be the tempo setter, right? You have Jay Cutler, a veteran quarterback. He's going to be playing with the Dolphins. You have some up-and-comers in Devontae Parker. You got Jay Ajayi. Hopefully he's healthy and out of his concussion thing and all that stuff.
He is.
And I'm just saying, when the time comes – now, if they put a shellacking on the Dolphins, because they are going to beat the shit out of the Bears, but if they put a shellacking on the Dolphins, then that is going to set the trend for the season. But if it's a mediocre showing, and if they win like 13-10, I'd be a little worried for the rest of the season.
This is where I agree. I agree the first 6 weeks of the season are what I think define the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is what concerns me. They play at Miami, which is, you don't really know what's going to happen there yet. Then they play the Bears at home. That's a win by 100. Vikings on the road, a tough defense.
Tough.
Giants at home, which a much improved, tough defense. Those first 4 weeks.
Patriots and the Cardinals.
I know, and then tough. You go Patriots and Cardinals. But I'm just saying those first 4 weeks are the first 4 weeks without Doug Martin. They have no running game.
Martin will be there week four.
Yep.
He's suspended three weeks.
3 games. Okay, my apologies. Nevertheless, those first 6 weeks, you know, they better be. They're probably hoping to come out 3-3. Realistically, they play tough teams. Playing the Patriots, it's the Patriots and Giants at home is no easy task. I just don't see them being successful in those first six games, and that's why I had them as low as I did.
I actually have them coming out 3-3 in the first six games.
Me is too.
Me is too. As well. Sweet mother of God.
Yeah,
I have them starting 3-4.
Oh, you lost against the Bills.
Yep.
Yeah, I have them beating the Bills, and then I have them kind of going on a.
Then you guys just have them running ham against the division, which I feel like the Bucs will live and die on the arm of Jameis Winston. That's a fact. The Bills have made that perfectly clear. My number one team is the Carolina Panthers. Again, a team that I have 13-3, same as my second place team, the Atlanta Falcons. I have them 5-1 in the division. Cam Newton has a trend of going good cop, bad cop year after year, and this schedule kind of permits him to do so. He plays a couple of his road games, the 49ers, the Bears, and the Jets. When three of your road games are like that, all three of those wins. Obviously, you have the division, but the other one, you have the Patriots on the road. That's tough, but that's the only tough road game outside of the division. I feel like that Cam Newton, with the addition of Christian McCaffrey, with the resurgence of Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess being, you know, a bigger part in this offense, all the weapons are there. The defense is still there, in my opinion. They're going to do big things. This schedule, I know I did the same thing for the NFC North. This schedule is why they hands down will be the division winner. Three road games like that, those road games, they're going to combine for 6 wins the whole year, maybe. 6 to 8 wins, realistically.
Tim,
that's big.
I would agree with you, except they lost their best wide receiver in Ted Ginn in the offseason. I'm sorry.
You can laugh all you want.
I can't help it.
Ted Ginn was a valuable asset to them over these past few years, but with the offense that they have, just think of red zone threats alone. None of the other teams in this division are going to be able to stop McCaffrey, Olsen, and Benjamin in the red zone. And Cam. Add Cam to that. Those are four serious weapons in the red zone. It's and adding still everyone keeps forgetting Jonathan Stewart's not dead yet.
Not yet.
He's gonna get his plays. He's gonna get his downs. This team is very, very dangerous. And even though they were down last year, do not sleep on the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. They have a lot of weapons on that team. Kelvin Benjamin, I saw him in the preseason game. He looked good.
Yep.
He looked really good. Christian McCaffrey, to be honest, I wasn't super high on him coming into the draft. Now watching him through the process, watching him through the games, the camp, everything like that. Watching him in that preseason game, the most impressive thing that I saw with him is when he hit the hole between the tackles, because we know he can hit the hole on the outside of the tackles, but when he goes inside the tackles, he likes to plant his arm on his pulling guard or tackle or whoever's in front of him, and he just holds on and goes for a ride.
He's smart.
And then he pushes, and then when he does run, he knows when to not take contact and knows when to just turn up the field. I give him a lot of credit for it.
McCaffrey will be fine in the NFL. Yeah, he kind of looked a little small, but when he was out there, he looked good running in between the tackles. In my eyes, he's got a little bit of that Le'Veon Bell in him. Very patient, and he's got quick feet. And when he needs to hit that acceleration button, he can do it.
The most weapons on the offensive side of the football belong to the Carolina Panthers right now.
Disagree.
Yeah, I disagree as well.
It's fine. You guys, that's why we do this show.
Oh yeah.
Well, you guys want to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll do the other two divisions.
That works.
That works.
Well, I hope you guys are ready because we have shot some new commercials, and they're something. So hope you guys enjoy, and here they are. So we'll be back shortly.
Tired of ESPN, Bleacher Report, and every single website out there giving you the same information, the same exact opinions over and over and over? You need to check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com. CleatGeeks gives you everything from wrestling to football to MLB to MMA. They bring you every single thing you need to know as a sports fan. If you're tired of the everyday opinion, make sure you go check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com.
I have been searching and searching and searching for sports memorabilia over and over again, and I can't find a good place to basically find exactly what I need until just recently. PristineAuction.com, they have everything that you can imagine. UFC stuff, NFL, MLB, NBA, they have autographs from players in all those leagues. Pictures, jerseys, helmets, anything you can imagine. You can go on there right now and get a signed Antonio Brown jersey for $150. Framed. Signature. Everything. You can go on there and get some gloves signed by who? Mayweather and McGregor for $550. A little overpriced, but it is what it is. It's an auction. Go on there. Get what you need. PristineAuction.com. Check out their daily deals that they have going on. And, you know, be happy with some of the stuff that you buy. Again, we've been going to Pristine Auction the last couple of months now. We're extremely happy, so hit them up and see what you can get.
Pony Keg Sports, my name is Terry. I have no friends, and I just want to talk about fantasy football. What should I do? Well, Terry, you should go to DraftingSleepers.com. It's a growing community with smart individuals like us at Pony Keg Sports. We will answer your questions. And there's people talking about fantasy football 24/7. If you guys are like Terry and have no friends, go to DraftingSleepers.com, join the community.
I'm so tired of so-called prophets giving me terrible fantasy football advice.
I'm tired of these corn-fed cousin kissers on the four-letter network trying to steer my goddamn team into the wall.
And I'm tired of juiced-up, washed-up linebackers trying to pretend like they know fantasy football. Gentlemen, that is exactly why we created Pony Keg Sports, your number one place to go for fantasy football sports every Tuesday night on WBLZ. We got balls, baby. Woo!
All right, everybody, we are back from commercial, and hope you enjoyed it.
And they better have.
So it was, it's something, you know. Can't really hate on it. We are back, and we're going to be talking about the East. You guys want to talk about the East? We have the Dallas Cowboys, New York Football Giants, Washington Redskins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Tom, kick it off. Who do you have fourth in the division?
My fourth place team is the Eagles.
The Eagles?
The Philadelphia Eagles. I have them going 6-10, 2-4 in the division. I am not a believer in the offseason weapons that they have added to this offense. I am not an Alshon Jeffrey believer. I am not a LeGarrette Blount believer. And I think they're the worst team overall in this division. I think they're going to struggle this year.
Where'd you have them, 6-10?
6-10.
Wow.
I also had the Eagles at 5-11. Wow. 1-5 in the division. I agree with everything that Tom said. They start the season, both games on the road, tough division game against the Redskins, and then in Kansas City, then another tough division game at home against the Giants, and then back across country against the Chargers. All tough games. I don't like, LeGarrette Blount is going to add some security for Carson Wentz, but like Tom said, I don't like the additions that they made at wide receiver. I just don't. I think Alshon Jeffrey is extremely overrated. Who knows what his injuries will be like again. They're going to show signs. There might be a few weeks here and there that you think that they're going to take over the world. But at the end of the day, I think everything will balance itself out. They go across country 3 times, I believe, against the Chargers, Seahawks, and Rams. That's tough to do in any 16-game season. So I'm not a big fan of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't think you guys are ready for mine.
Oh, God.
The Eagles in fourth. 4-12.
Woo!
Yeah, 0-6 in the division. I'm giving them no respect, and I'm sorry, Eagles fans. And you know what? Our friend Michael Spengler will probably not be very happy with us when we do talk about
who
that.
Who the hell is Michael Spengler?
He's our friend.
Yeah.
So
never even heard of him.
Yeah, you don't know who he is.
All right.
Michael. Big Eagles fan. But
well, good luck, idiot.
After week 10, which week 10 is their bye week, they play the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Rams, which, you know, it is what it is. The Giants, the Raiders, and the Cowboys, and the Bears.
I was going to say, don't forget about the Bears.
They're going to beat the shit out of the Bears.
I was there Monday Night Football last year when Carson Wentz torched the Bears, so I don't disagree with that.
But, man, their schedule is just tough in general, and I'm looking top to bottom on it, and it's just it's going to be a stretch where it's just – I don't know. The one game that I want to give them is the 49ers, that they could beat the 49ers, but I really think the 49ers are going to sneak a game in there and pull out the win on the road going to the Eagles there. So I got the Eagles 4-12, and even with the additions, like you said, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar going to the slot, and then you have Jordan Matthews getting traded to the Bills. I feel like they did themselves more – I don't want to say more harm. They got more talent, but I think they – got rid of Jordan Matthews, and I thought that was a very poor decision.
Yeah, they've been trying to bring in more wide receivers now since doing so. So you definitely know that they're trying to add depth at that position because they're not sure of themselves and the health of their wide receivers. And, you know, like I said, I already mentioned the start of their season, their last 4 games, cross-country road trip against the Rams, then you come back to the East Coast to play the Giants, and then you play the Raiders and Cowboys at home. That's a tough way to end it after a tough start. I just don't know if Carson Wentz is ready for this type of season.
All right, let's go to the third team in the division. Who do we have? Tom, lead it off.
Third place, I have the Washington football team. I have them going 7-9, 3-3. I think it's, you know what sucks? It was a really bad luck of the draw for the NFC East this year. Look, they got to face the AFC West and the NFC West. There's a lot of games where they have to go coast to coast. That makes a big difference for a football team, especially on short weeks. But they're going to struggle facing the AFC West. Look, the Raiders are a very good football team. The Chiefs are a good football team. I am expecting a lot from the Chargers and the Broncos. They can play defense. The Redskins lost their offensive coordinator, Sean McVay. He went to the LA Rams. But he was a big part of Kirk Cousins' development as a quarterback. And I just don't know how much he gives a shit about the Redskins right now. I don't think he's going to be with this football team next year. And I think that's going to hurt them overall.
You see McVay doing sprints with the Rams today, and he won. Yeah. Not a good sign for the Rams. I agree, Tom. Like you said, they have to play the AFC and the NFC West. Don't know what schmuck from in the NFL decided that was a good idea. They have 4 cross-country road trips. The only difference is one of those 4 is against the San Francisco 49ers, And my whole thing with them is their weapons that they have on offense are they're talented. Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. I like that dynamic. The running game is obviously a huge question mark for them, but Eli Manning sees the writing on the wall, kind of similar to Ben Roethlisberger. They don't know how much longer is left. He's going to make sure he puts everything out there. I have them finishing 9-7 overall, 3-3 in the division.
I have the Washington Redskins 8-8, third in the division, and kind of the same reasons that you guys said. What was the most shocking loss that you had for the Redskins?
Let's see.
Yeah, and if you guys couldn't tell, I don't think I came out and said it. My team was the New York Giants. You figured that out.
But after we looked at you, like,
yeah,
you're like,
you
dumb.
Looked at me like I was done. I didn't come out and say it, so my apologies.
I have the Redskins losing week 2 against the Rams.
To the Rams.
Yep.
I have them losing week 14 to the Chargers. That's my biggest shock loss.
You have them at 8-8 as well, Josh?
I have them as 8-8, yes. Okay, 2-4 in the division, though. So... let's talk about the second team in the division. Who do you guys have? I think I know who Tom's going to put down.
My second place team's the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
I have them going 9-7, 3-3 in the division. You know, this can change a lot depending on what happens with Mr. Ezekiel Elliott. This team's completely different, though, when they do not have him. A lot of people think that he was only successful last year because of that offensive line, but that is not the case. He is one hell of a football player, one of the best football players in the NFL when the ball is not in his hands. But I think they're going to struggle early on, but once Zeke comes back, if it's week 8, if it's week 3, week 4, Dallas is going to be on a different level. They're going to feed Zeke a lot, though. That is the question. And I think he can still come close to 250, 300 total rushing attempts this year, even with a suspension. That's how much they are going to feed him this year.
My team is the Washington Redskins at number 2. I had them equal to my third place team, the New York Giants, at 9-7. Also 3-3 in the division. They beat the Giants on tie breaks. Kirk Cousins is playing with a chip on his shoulder. I feel like he does enough inner division to make sure his team gets to where they need to be. Fat Rob, and I know Samaje Perine did not look good in his first preseason game, but I still like the three-headed monster, as Tom always likes to put it, of Perine, Kelly, and Chris Thompson. And, you know, they have a tough schedule, but the Rams on the road is a winnable game for them. Week 2, one of their cross-country trips, and then the Seahawks and Chargers as their other two. They have enough firepower to compete with the Chargers week 14. So, I also, like I said, 9-7, finishing second place.
My number 2 team in the division is the New York Giants.
Woo.
I have them finishing 8-8, tying with the Washington Redskins, but finishing 5-1 in the division.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
is it because of that defense? Why do you have them so high?
I just think that the offense is going to be, I don't know. I feel like the offense is going to be there. I think we're going to see a huge dose of Evan Ingram. I don't think anybody's ready for it.
You're all about that Evan Ingram.
I am. I'm all about Evan Ingram, and I just think that he's another dynamic player to give Eli Manning. Eli Manning has never had this many weapons. You have Evan Ingram, a rookie. He's got to earn his time. But regardless, he's still there. You're going to have Sterling Shepard. You have Odell Beckham Jr. You have a running game where you saw what Paul Perkins could do at the end of the year. We don't know exactly what he is, but you still have Shane Vereen who can catch the ball out of the backfield. You still have...
Paul Perkins,
but who is the other one I'm thinking of? Wayne Gallman. That, who knows what Wayne Gallman could be. He hasn't had a very huge and productive camp, but at the same time, we know what he did when he was at Clemson.
My biggest concern with them, I know I still had them at 9-7. My biggest concern with the Giants are they're almost like a ticking time bomb to me. With Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham Jr. on the same team, it just scares the crap out of me. Even things today, you know, radio all over the country was going nuts because Odell Beckham Jr. has been making crazy catches throughout camp. Today he made a big play downfield and then while coming back, jumped over an official's head. While that is all cool and great for fans, teams get tired of that shit. At some point, teams are tired of seeing that it's mentally draining to have someone like that on your team. I just don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Not to mention, their offensive line is just absolutely awful.
I don't know. I think that's pretty impressive. I wish I could jump over somebody.
Me too. I'd feel a lot better about myself. But you guys were just talking about the Giants. They're my number one team. I have them going 10-6, 4-2 in this division. And you guys were talking about that offense, how explosive it can be. And Eli Manning has never had anything like the weapons he has now. But I'm more impressed with that defense. They are loaded on the defensive line. They can get after the quarterback by only sending four. They can stop the run. Look how effective they were against the Cowboys last season. Probably one of the only teams in the NFL that did a good job at shutting Zeke down. And they got good lockdown corners. We saw what Janoris Jenkins could do against Dez Bryant, the elite wide receivers in the NFL. I like the Giants because of their defense, and I think that's what's going to carry them this year.
I have the Dallas Cowboys, top of the division, finishing 9-7, 5-1 in the division. But get this, boys and girls, I have the Cowboys starting the season off 0-3. So, it's tough. It's a tough first three games. Giants, Broncos, Cardinals. So, that's the way I'm going with it. I have them starting off that way, but they face the Rams. And then I actually have them losing against the Packers. So, a very first tough five games.
I have them... I also have the Dallas Cowboys at number one overall. Josh, somewhat similarly, I have them starting actually 1-5 to start the season. They have a very tough start of the schedule, but the benefit for them is their West Coast trip. They play the Broncos, Cardinals back-to-back, so I'm assuming that they're going to stay out west for that road trip. They're not going to have to travel back and forth like a lot of the other teams in the NFC East do. After that, I have Zeke only missing four games. That's what I think it's actually going to come down to. Could be less, could be more. Regardless, I have them once week seven hits, it's a game on the road against San Francisco 49ers. They're going to run roughshod. Think back to last year when Tom Brady came back from his suspension. The Patriots played with an attitude, with a swagger, and ended up winning the Super Bowl. Not giving up my prediction yet on that, but the Dallas Cowboys are going to run roughshod over the NFC East. They're going to lose week one to the New York Giants, and after that, they are going to dominate the NFC East. I like the Cowboys going 10-6 overall, 5-1 in their division.
What are you guys' personal opinions on the suspension with Ezekiel Elliott? We kind of touched on it a little bit last week, but some people do have him in fantasy leagues. Some people will be drafting them in fantasy leagues. He was, what, considered a lock for your top three running backs. Some people would pick him number two. Some people even picked him number one.
Let's start with fantasy, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. Let's go on fantasy. Same way when Le'Veon Bell missed 3 weeks for his suspension, he was still one of the top three running back picks, in my opinion, because once he comes back, he's going to win you games. Ezekiel Elliott is the same exact way because of the offense that the Dallas Cowboys have set up. Now, outside of that, you just have to realize I'm so sick and tired of hearing Cowboys fans and everyone else saying, well, the NFL is bigger than the law then, blah, blah. The NFL Players Association did this. They put this and put Ezekiel Elliott, they put Tom Brady, they put Le'Veon Bell all in these situations themselves. They agreed to this deal. This is why the NFLPA has come out and said the next time, was it 2018 or 2019? Maybe it was 2020. In 2020, when they come up to re-sign everything, they told players to prepare for a lockout because things like this aren't going to fly. They let Roger Goodell not only say, hey, you know what? I'm going to suspend you for this amount of time. But when it's reviewed, who judges it again? Roger Goodell. He gets to decide if his original punishment was fair. If you want to be mad at anyone, be mad at the NFL Players Association. They did this themselves. It sucks. But you know what? It's in their contract that anything detrimental to the league, they can evaluate the way that they see fit, and it's done and over with. He's getting suspended. Maybe it won't be this season. Maybe he'll take it to the courts, and guess what? He takes it to the courts, he's going to lose again. That's a fact. Tom Brady proved that.
Or they shorten his suspension.
It's going to get shortened, for sure. It's going to get shortened, but he's going to miss 3 to 4 games. Set in stone.
This
year or next year.
My biggest thing is, how can the NFL go ahead and rule that giving him 6-game suspension on the information that they have founded, but when there is a police investigation, it is basically not completed yet?
Because the police investigation is done. That has been finished.
But then nothing was founded, right?
Nothing was founded, but that's not the point. Nothing was founded because in the court of law, when someone retracts their statements and retracts everything and basically takes everything back, legally, they can't do anything. But, again, the NFLPA said, we're giving the NFL this power. All of that is still there. And basically, the NFL is saying, it doesn't matter that someone took this back. You are putting yourself out there. And Zeke has not helped himself in the meantime.
No, he has not.
He has gone out and done dumb thing after dumb thing, whether it's ruining a charitable bowl and on Thanksgiving from the Salvation Army.
Pulling out a titty.
Or whipping out a titty. That's what it is. The league can blame it on whatever they want. This is a warning shot. This is the league saying, hey, you know what? I got a 10-foot wing. Here it is, laying it on the table. If you don't like it, too bad. We'll see you in 2020, son.
In all honesty, like Tim brought up, I think Zeke will most likely be out for 3 to 4 games. I can see the appeal.
This year or next year?
This year. I can see them appealing and it getting lowered. But, yeah, this is pretty much the NFL telling Zeke, one of their biggest and brightest, youngest stars, you need to clear your fucking act up. Straight up. Because right now the path he is on, it's not good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't make the Cowboys look good. Their franchise is getting fined because they have too many guys getting suspended. There's something wrong with the culture there. But I could see Jerry Jones trying to fight this and offering to flip the bill for the legal fees. I really don't think Zeke did anything wrong. I do own him in a dynasty league. Maybe that is clouding my judgment. But there's just so many things out there that it just doesn't make sense. There's witnesses saying nothing happened. There's witnesses saying Zeke is telling the truth, whatever. But the NFL, or the players, it's their fault, just like Tim brought up.
It comes down to, this is just the league saying, it doesn't matter if you are our biggest stars ever. If you do things to make the league look dumb, to put us in the news for dumb things, it doesn't matter if you are white or black or a quarterback or a running back, we are going to lay down the law. And that's it. And now, the two biggest organizations in the league, the Patriots and the Cowboys, that's the league has no choice right now. After laying down the law like they did with the Patriots, after everything that happened last year, they can't back down now. They can't back down at all. This is all on the NFLPA. They can bitch and moan all they want. They did this.
Let's go ahead and move on to the West Division. And who do you guys got at the bottom of that one?
The bottom in the West, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I have them finishing with an impressive 3-13, 2-4 in the division.
I need to know who you have them winning against.
I have them beating the Cardinals week 9.
Wow.
I have them beating the Giants in week 10. I have them beating the Rams in week 3. So,
interesting.
You never know what can happen with division rivals. And I really like the offense that Kyle Shanahan is showing that he is capable of running with this Niners team. They looked impressive week 1. Yeah, it's only week 1 of the preseason, but I think they're going to be able to run the football. They have talent along that defensive line. I think they're going to be able to get after the quarterback, but there's still a lot of holes on this team. They understand that, and this is it's a rebuild, in all honesty. Just be blunt with it. It's going to be a little process. They gave him a 6-year contract, him and John Lynch, but it's going to be a process. And they're going to be in the running for the first overall pick in the 2018 draft.
John Lynch has a plan in mind. I have them finishing 3-13 as well. I have them beating the Los Angeles Rams in week 3. I have them beating either the Chicago Bears or the Houston Texans in week 13 or 14. I feel like those are both winnable road games for them, even though they are a bad team. And then I have them beating the Seattle Seahawks at home in week 12, coming off of a bye. That's where I have 2-4 in the division, 3-13 overall.
Wow. It's interesting. I have them 3-13 as well. So,
you guys copied.
I have them beating the Colts week 5. I didn't want to do it, but I just had to. I got them beating the Colts in week 5. I have them beating the Eagles in week 8. And then I have them beating the Jaguars in week 16.
That was the other game I was going to call out. That late in the season, you know, they have nothing.
They're going to try to put something together. They have nothing
to lose. Jaguars making a cross-country road trip into California. I like that. They could win 4 games. 5 games.
Carlos Hyde, will he be the running back at the end of the season going into next season?
Hell no!
He will be hurt.
I think so as well.
Carlos Hyde, it's a man by the name of Joe Williams. You may have heard of him if you listen to this show. If you haven't listened to this show, you've listened to 414 or Five Guys.
Prophet Deuce.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They haven't been talking about guys like Joe Williams. You can mock it all you want. Joe Williams is going to be a guy for the 49ers.
Next up, third in the division.
I have the Los Angeles Rams going 6-10, 3-3 in the division. Look, I have the Rams opening the season 2-0, pretty similar to last year, and I just have shit falling apart once again. I have them beating the Colts and Redskins to start the season. There's a good chance Andrew Luck might not be playing week one. That's why I have them beating the Colts. But I just don't believe in Jared Goff. Todd Gurley, I want to see the real Todd Gurley run behind a real offensive line. I just don't know if the Rams have that. They have Wade Phillips, who's been extremely good at turning around defenses and making defenses absolutely elite. And they have quite a few solid defenders on this Rams team. That's the only way I could see this team coming close to making the playoffs. But I think it's going to be a long year for one Sean McVay.
Yeah, and this is a team that, a couple things. One, this is a team that's had an elite defense in the past, yeah, within like the last 2 to 3 years. They've had an elite defense. So the addition of Wade Phillips can't be undersold. You have the fact them starting 2-0. I get that they're both home games, but Colts and Redskins, neither of those are, gimme games by any means, even if Andy Luck isn't playing week one. I ended up having them at 5-11. I had them 3-3 in the division as well. It is so hard for me with the Los Angeles Rams because I was high out of Jared Goff coming out of college and high on Todd Gurley. Like I'm a Jared Goff guy and a Todd Gurley guy. I want nothing more than to see them succeed. And I feel like 5-11 for the Rams is a successful year for Jared Goff at quarterback. Might be a little bit sad, but the additions of Sammy Watkins, having Cooper Kupp, they added that tight end in the draft.
Gerald Everett.
Thank you, Gerald Everett, which I think is going to be great for Jared Goff. If Todd Gurley can get going at all, I feel like 5-11 is a feasible record for them.
5-11 for me as well. 2-4 in the division. And my shock win for the Rams is against the Giants week 9.
Coming off the bye?
Yep.
I like that. On the road, I like that.
Yeah. I just feel like it. I mean, the other games, obviously, are just against the Jaguars, against who else do I have? Against the Eagles, against the 49ers, and I believe against the 49ers again. So, like Tom said, with that defense, the defense has already been pretty good. And now with Wade Phillips there, you know, just doing his thing, that he's turned defenses around, like, with the snap of his fingers. So if he can do that with this Rams defense that was already pretty decent, and now I think that they're going to be even better, I think 5 wins is attainable and I don't want to say a goal, but if they don't get 5 wins, that's a shame and that's a lost season in my opinion.
Maybe not early, especially if Andrew Luck is playing, but the Rams defense is a defense that you need to look at mid-season if you don't have one of those top-tier defenses. You're playing the flyer wire.
Well, especially with Tavon Austin with special teams.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Josh. That's a defense that you need to look at, especially, you know, in that there's a small run there in the season that potentially they can do big things.
Next up, let's go second in the division. I think these might be little toss-ups for us.
I am tired of Tom going first.
Why?
I'm tired. This is ridiculous, so I'm going to go first.
Chicago Bears.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, but I'm not that drunk yet, Josh. Let's go with my second-place team in the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh.
I have the Seattle Seahawks. I am much lower on them than many people are. I saw the Four Letter Network had them as their third-ranked team, I believe, overall in their original power rankings. I hate it. I have them at 7-9. I have them 3-3 in the division. There's still questions at the run game. They did not address their issues at offensive line. Russell Wilson, if he continues to get beat on over and over, it's been a bend but do not break type of offense. You don't want to see that in an offense. That's what they've been. If they can't develop a running game, if they can't get their wide receivers going, Doug Baldwin's their number one. We've talked at length about how we don't love, but he's always been good type of guy, and Doug Baldwin. Other teams have to see that at some point. Their lone bright spot, in my opinion, is Jimmy Graham. He continues to come along and be fantastic. I don't like them. I don't like them starting at Green Bay. I'm just not a huge fan of the Seattle Seahawks this year.
Josh, I think Tim's been smoking that crack again.
Yeah, that's... Didn't we talk about drugs being bad?
Well, that's why you got to stick to beer, Tim. You got to stop smoking that crack rock. My second place team, Tim, I don't know. I just don't really... I'm trying to comprehend everything you just said. I'm going with the Cardinals, finishing 9-7, 4-2 in the division, the best overall record in the division. I like what this team did in the draft. And they invested a lot of draft capital in the defensive side of the football. Budda Baker, got Haason Reddick, two athletic, very young players who are going to install some talent and speed on that defense. They still got elite playmakers in Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu. Hopefully Robert Kendiji can come out and be a player and help replace that Calais Campbell. And one, Mr. David Johnson, they're going to give him the football until his wheels fall off. And I think this is the Cardinals, one of their last seasons where they're going to be competitive right now. I don't know how much longer Mr. Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer have left to be playing, but I absolutely love Bruce Arians, one of my favorite coaches, and he's one of the reasons I cheer for the Cardinals.
I have the Arizona Cardinals, second in the division as well, but what was your record?
9-7.
13-3.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know, believe me.
Oh. At second, you have him 13-3?
13-3, second.
That's like Tim's NFC South right there.
Yeah, I don't know why. I go down the list of the games, and I see an edge in almost every game besides just a handful. And I have them losing to the Seahawks. I have them losing to the Packers. I have them losing to the Redskins. And that's really about it. I'm sorry, not to Dallas. Yeah, I don't know. It's not very many. That's all I got to say. And I don't know. I really feel like Arizona, the matchups make sense. Their home games, they make sense. And at 13-3, I can't hate on it. I really think that they're going to do it. It's kind of crazy to think that I have a 14-2 team and a 13-3 team in the same division, but it's what it is.
I'll just pick up on the Arizona Cardinals because I have them first. Overall, in this division, I have them at 9-7. Nowhere near 13-3. I have them 4-2 in their division. And you know, speaking to their schedule, listen, they start on the road in Detroit. Obviously, can be a tough game, but I think that defense can hold up, and they have enough firepower, especially in the run game against the Lions defense, that potentially could be questionable. The Colts, who knows what the status is of Andrew Luck there, and then the Cowboys at home, potentially without Zeke, and the 49ers at home. So, you know, they're tough games to me. Obviously, they're cross country trips against the Eagles, which you heard earlier, I'm not that high on. And then not till week 15 against the Washington Redskins. So, I like the Cardinals. I like what they have. They play the 49ers, obviously, on the road, and they play the Texans on the road, which I'm not overly impressed by. They have a schedule that's set up. And again, it's another one of those situations where you mentioned it, Tom, last hurrah. Carson Palmer, where there was rumors of him retiring after last season. Larry Fitzgerald is close. David Johnson is still the second coming. I love, Tom, I know you're a big Colts fan. You were mocking me a little bit earlier because I said it was the Bears' biggest mistake ever not signing Bruce Arians when they had the chance. He was ready to come to Chicago. They didn't. I will never, ever, ever, ever forgive Bears ownership for taking Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians. I know that's not the same GM. I get it. I will never forgive them for that because the McCaskey should have known better. An MVP coach, the best coach of the year, and you don't take him. It's a fucking joke. The dude's a man. He was out there today saying just typical coach stuff. He came out, I thought preseason that we would have 14 starters on the offense, but I must have been blind because looking at it now, we only got two. Fire up your team, piss them off, get them ready to go. He's a fat, boisterous son of a bitch. I love everything about it. I have the Arizona Cardinals 9-7 winning the NFC West.
I have the Seattle Seahawks winning the West. I have them at an impressive 10-6. Not so great, but I look at that defense. Yeah, they are aging. But when you have Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, Michael Bennett. On the defensive side of the football, Cliff Averill. I wish they had Malik McDowell. This defense can be special. They will continue to be special as long as those guys are healthy. And they got, in my eyes, the best quarterback in this division as well. We'll see if they can find a running game. But I think C.J. Procise, given a chance, if he can stay healthy, he can be a transcendent talent, in all honesty.
I agree with that. What this dude can do,
his size, he doesn't really look like he's 6 foot 220, but that's what he is. Hopefully this dude can stay healthy. What he can do when the football's in his hands, just watch the New England tape from last year when he absolutely torched the New England Patriots and was pretty much the reason that the Seahawks went into Foxborough and beat the New England Patriots. That's how good this guy can be, and that's how good he can make that Seattle offense.
Josh, before you get to your thing, for everyone who's just a little bit of fantasy input on my opinion, obviously all these running backs coming in, rookie running backs, and what they are, what they're going to be, I feel like at the end of this season, you're going to look at C.J. Procise and you're going to look at Christian McCaffrey, and they're going to have very similar fantasy numbers.
It's possible. It's very possible. Seattle Seahawks, I have them finishing the season 14-2. And week one, they are going to come in with a loss to the Green Bay Packers. And then they're going to win up until week 10, play Arizona at home. They're going to lose to Arizona. And then after that, they will win out. That's where I have my Seattle Seahawks.
So we were talking at some point. My biggest concern about the Seahawks is they've always been home win dominant, yep. Right? That's what has been their bread and butter, winning at home. And they still obviously have, I feel like they will do well against, I had them 3-3. They might run the division at home. I just don't know if they're going to be that 7-win team at home that they need to be in order to stay competitive in this division. That's my biggest concern with them. Aging defense, they're still great, but at some point the ball has to drop. And this is why I think it's going to be this season. An offensive line that they did not address. Wide receiver core that is still questionable at best. And they have, as much as I love C.J. Procise, I don't know about Thomas Rawls. I don't know about Fat Eddie. I just don't know enough about this team right now to predict them winning the division.
You know what was great is during our little group chat that we had, I forget what that Ella or Alla or whatever it is.
Okay,
that little gif that I sent of the Eddie Lacy chasing the cheeseburger and it was dancing around. I was laughing so
I gotta
hard.
Tell you guys a funny story, and I know everyone on air loves it. So the app that we're talking, we have a group message chat that we use. It's called Allo. It's A-L-L-O is the way that it's spelled, and it's basically Google's version of like a group chat. And it has gifs, it has all this stuff. Former host, Mike Agent, great friend of the show, is the one who found it. So we're talking about, and my wife's sitting, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm talking on Allo. My friend just found it. It's great. It's a Google's thing." And she goes, "Oh, I'm going to download it." So she downloads it. And she's like, "Babe, what the fuck are you guys on?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "This is like fucking Tinder." I'm like, "No, it's not. Are you drunk? Like, what are you talking about?" And she's like, "No, look." And it's like telling her to like find people. It's like taking pictures of her automatically. I'm like, "What the fuck?" Well, A-L-O, not A-L-L-O, is apparently like a Tinder dating app that she signed herself up for. I was like, "You whore!" It was hilarious. She got like all concerned that I was like fucking doing something dumb. I'm like, "What the fuck is going on right now?" It was awesome. So yeah, L-O, A-L-L-O, definitely highly recommend it. It's been great fun for the league.
All right, so that's our NFC. Do we want to talk about the playoffs, or do we want to?
Let's do playoffs. Want to do playoffs real quick?
Yeah, we can do playoffs.
All right, so wild card. What do you guys have going on in the wild card?
My first matchup, I have Arizona at Tampa Bay. I have Tampa Bay winning that matchup. My other one is Dallas at Seattle, with Seattle winning. Both home teams advancing.
My wild card weekend for the NFC is the Dallas Cowboys against the Washington Redskins. I have the Dallas Cowboys winning at home. And then I have the Atlanta Falcons against the Arizona Cardinals. The Falcons win the road game and move on.
I have the Buccaneers and Falcons, Cardinals and Cowboys. That's where I have them ending up.
Who do you have winning?
Cardinals winning, Bucks winning.
In the divisional round, I got Seattle at New York, and I have the Seattle Seahawks upsetting the Giants. OBJ goes to Miami once again to try to get rid of that curse, and the Giants lose and drop the ball. And I have the Bucks going to Lambeau Field facing the Green Bay Packers and losing. So it's going to be a Seattle-Green Bay in the NFC Championship game for me.
I have the Dallas Cowboys vintage NFC playoff divisional football. The Dallas Cowboys going into Green Bay and losing a close one. I have the Green Bay Packers winning. And I have the Atlanta Falcons beating the Carolina Panthers in Carolina to move on. I have an NFC Championship game of the Falcons and the Packers.
I have the Seahawks facing the Bucks with the Buccaneers winning.
Shocking.
And then shocking. I have the Packers versus the Cardinals with the Packers winning. And in the NFC NFC Championship game, I have the Bucks versus Packers. I have the Packers winning.
All right, Tom.
I have the Packers beating the Seahawks as well and representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I have the Atlanta Falcons against the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. And Matt Ryan gets it done. The Atlanta Falcons are going back to the Super Bowl to friggin' handle their business.
Pretty interesting. We all have Green Bay in the NFC Championship game there.
And I have the Falcons. You both have Green Bay in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I have
Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
You guys
Bowl,
both have Green Bay. I have the Falcons, so. Yeah. Interesting.
And I do not have the Falcons making the playoffs.
I have them making it as a wild card.
I just their defense, their improvements on the defensive side of the ball, I feel like is going to speak volumes.
Well, that was a good NFL predictor there. Next week, we will be talking about the AFC. So,
who do we have, the Packers and the Falcons playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'll have our Super Bowl breakdown as well, see who we think's going to win. Possibly maybe doing an MVP prediction, Defensive Player of the Year predictions as well. We'll see.
Well, we didn't talk about that prior, you son of a bitch. But yeah, sure, we can do that too.
All right, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the NFL Predictor, PlayoffPredictor.com. We're going to do the AFC, like we talked about, next week, and kind of go from there. So for Tim, Tom, and myself, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. Email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com, and hit us up on our website, ponykegsports.com. And again, we said it earlier, but check out our buddies at DraftingSleepers.com and CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. Until next time, we'll see you.